Blog Talk Radio.
Share how he began on this journey that he is on.
And the number for them to call is 646-915-8166. So I want to again thank those of you who are listening. Remember that you can always go back and download the broadcast, and you can have it. I will be cautious that I speak slowly for those of you who are taking notes. And so this is a valuable broadcast this morning that you're going to be using to put tools in your toolbox. So, tips for a great resume. I am going to go through 8 points that you need to concentrate on when you are using writing your resume. And majority of these pointers that I'm going through are pointers that are supported by the Department of Labor across the country. And if you are someone who have been utilizing your job centers in your different locations in the United States, some of these topics you probably have heard before. So for you, these may only be an affirmation, but they are good ones that you can put in your toolbox. Research indicates that many employers prefer a chronological resume format. And I'm going to give you 8 tips that you need to use to make sure that your resume is a chronological one. And I'm going to go through the different types of resume in this presentation as well. Step number one, start with your present or most recent position and work backwards. Start with your present or most recent position and work backwards. Number two, keep your next job target in mind. The most effective resumes are clearly focused on a specific job title and address the employer's stated requirements for the position. So in other words, don't let it be generic. You're going to target the resume for the position that they said they are hiring for. Number three, provide detail on relevant positions for a work history of no more than 50, from more than, you know, 10 to 15 years. For example, if you are my age, don't be going over all the jobs you have done from you were a child until now you're in your 50s or 60. Pick out the most current ones spanning between a 10 and a 15 years period. Number four, use month and year designation to indicate periods of employment. Greater detail can be given in your interview or when you complete that job application. Use month and year designations to indicate periods of employment. Greater detail can be given in the interview or when you filled out the job application. Number five, with each position listed, emphasize the major accomplishments and responsibilities that demonstrated your full competence to do the job. Do not repeat details that are common to several positions. Once the most significant aspect of your work are defined, it is generally unnecessary to include lesser achievements. I think this one is very important that I repeat this step for you. Number five, with each position listed, emphasize the major accomplishments and responsibilities that demonstrate your full competence to do the job. Do not repeat details that are common to several positions. Once the most significant aspects of your work are defined, it is generally unnecessary to include lesser achievements. So in other words, you're going to make sure you highlight the cream of the crop of all your achievements. Number six, education should not be included in the work experience section. As a general rule, education should go at the top of your resume. If completed within the last 5 years, if you completed your education more than 5 years ago, include it at the bottom of your resume. Point number seven. Recent graduates can list relevant classes along with a GPA of 3.5 or higher in the education section. You know, not necessarily people who are just getting out of high school and things like that. However, there are people who are attending online school and colleges and universities. So if you are filling out that, put your GPA in there. And number eight. If possible, consolidate your resume onto one page. However, a two-page document is acceptable by most employers. So I know a lot of people are saying, you know, your resume need to be one page. And there are some people whose resume can still look clean and professional at one page. But if you're going to cram all your information on one page and it looks cluttered, then you don't need to do that. It's okay to expand it to two pages. Now, let us look at some of the bottom lines that employers are examining your resumes for. It is important to sell yourself to the reader in the top half of your resume. If there is an objective, it should be simply stated with a particular employment goal in mind. Specify what it is you are applying for in your objective line of your resume. Your strongest skills and qualifications should be listed either at the top of the resume in the skills summary or in the first job description. The position titles and company names should be easy to see. Present the information using consistent format throughout the document. Be sure that the text alignments are correct, that if you are using bullet types, they are consistent, and your font type should be consistent. Most people are using mixed font, but whatever you decide to use, be sure it is consistent throughout your document. Keep the employer in mind when you are writing your resume. Customize your resume to the kind of job you are seeking. if you are applying for different jobs, you will need several different versions of your resume. Opt each version to a specific job and their requirements. So, you know, your resume is not a one cut fit all. You will need to customize it to the job that you are applying for. A lot of people have one set of resume that they just send it out with generic objectives. It is not to your advantage to do that because it's not going to get your resume to the top of the pile. It's going to just like let it leave there because you are not stipulating what they are asking for and they are not going to spend any time to look at it. So be sure to target your resume to the job that you are looking for. Emphasize your accomplishments. Make it easy for the employer to identify your accomplishments when reading your work history. Itemize them with attractive bullets. Avoid long sentences. Use phrases and action verb to emphasize your accomplishments. Make your resume visible, appealing. It is always extremely attractive to have a border around it. It just enhances the page and it lets the page pop out. The resume should the resume should look clean and professional. It should have adequate space between paragraphs. And there should not be too much information crammed on one page, as I had mentioned before. So, you need it to be attractive and appealing to the eye. Okay? Know what employers are looking for in a resume. Does the candidate have the necessary and appropriate work experience? Is the candidate missing any critical training or job skills? Does the candidate have the required technical knowledge? Does the candidate have sufficient supervisory, management, or leadership skills? Has the candidate demonstrated proven track records of career growth with increased levels of responsibilities? Now, how will the employer answer those questions based on what you have put into your resume? That's why when we said highlight your accomplishments, you're not going to let them be overpowering, but you're going to lay them out attractively so that they will attract the eyes of the employer. So just to remind you again what employers are looking for in your resume, here are the top five things that they want to know. Do you have the necessary and appropriate work experience? Are you missing any critical training and skills? Do you have the required technical knowledge? Are you someone who have had sufficient managerial or supervisory and leadership skills? Do you have a proven track record during your career with increasing levels of responsibility? Or are you someone who you just go on the job and you just do what you have to do for payday? Are you taking advantages of trainings and workshops that come your way things that gives you continuing education credits and all those things. If you do those things, make sure you highlight those in your resume. Now, I'm going to go through 10 no-nos that you need not have in your resume. So here are 10 things you need to avoid in writing your resume. Your resume needs to be error-free. Do not submit a resume with misspelling and typing grammatical error. Always get someone to edit your work. Not all of us are strong on grammar, and not all of us have writing skills. But I know all of us know someone that have those skills. So do not be embarrassed to ask someone to edit your work before you send it out. Number two, don't write corrections or notes on your resume. You should always be completely typed. It should always be completely typed. So do not send out a handwritten, because if you're like me, your penmanship is not the best. And it's not going to be easy to read by the employer. So get type. Even if you cannot pay someone a couple of dollars to type it up for you. Don't forget about your cover letter. Your cover letter is extremely important to your resume. It is like the decoration on a cake. Too many resumes are mailed without cover letters and end up in the wrong desk with no indication of the position being applied for. If you are submitting your resume to more than one employer, make sure that the accompanying cover letter corresponds to the correct position and company or employer. Do not provide history of salary requirement. Don't lie about your background or stretch the truth. Don't include personal information such as age, weight, gender, or marital status in your resume. Don't use the word resume for a title or the phrase references furnished upon request. If employer requires references, they will ask you to provide them. Don't staple or tape your resume pages. Get a larger envelope so that your resume will lay flat in that envelope, so it's wrinkle-free and crease-free. So when the employer opens it up, it is still very fresh and flat and attractive. It will cost you a few more cents to mail that, but it is just going to put you in a better light once it's open. Don't use your present employer's fax or email envelopes to mail the document to send your resume out. I know in Connecticut and in New York as well, if you are unemployed, if you are on unemployment, you can go into the Department of Labor and you can use their job center. I remember years ago when I was on unemployment, I was able to go there. I was able to get the training. I was able to do mail from there and use the clerical office to type and print and do your things. And I'm sure that still is. So call up your job center in your city and you can go there and make sure things are done attractively. Point number 10. Don't use a resume that looks cluttered or lack white space. You remember me mentioning before about not cramming everything because you want it to be one page. It is better to go on to two pages and are able to have the employer read through your material than to cram it into one page and you are the right person for the job, but because it is all cluttered, they do not look at it. You heard me mention before that you should use bullets and you should use action verbs and words in your resume. And the Department of Labor Research Division has compiled a list of action words that they have found out that for years and centuries, these are powerful words that gets great results. And here are the words: accommodated, accounted, achieved, acted, advanced, advised, analyzed, arranged, articulated, ascertained, attended, automated, built, calculated, categorized, caused, chaired, clarified, collaborated, communicated, conceived, concentrated, contributed, controlled, cooperated, concealed, created, customized, decide, decreased, dedicated, delivered, designed, developed, devised, directed, dispatched, displayed, distinguished, documented, earned, elected, eliminated, encouraged, enforced, engineered, ensured, enumerated, equalized, estimated, exchanged, exhibited, explored, fashioned, figured, filled, finalized, financed, fine-tuned, focused, followed, formulated, gathered, generated, granted, guided, illustrated, implemented, impressed, initiated, inspected, inspired, instructed, interrogated, integrated, interpreted, invented, judged, lectured, led, licensed, limited, listened, located, manufactured, mopped, mastered, maximized, measured, motivated, navigated, negotiated, notified, observed, ordered, organized, packaged, participated, patterned, persuaded, presented, prevented, processed, programmed, qualified, quoted, ranked, received, reconciled, reduced, regulated, repair, represented, restored, scheduled, secured, seized, selected, simplified, spearheaded, steered, streamlined, supplied, supervised, tailored, taught, tested, trained, translated, treated, tailored, updated, upgraded. Now you have a large list of action words that you can use to enhance your resume. Now, I would like to spend the rest of the time that I have here before my guest joins me, and I want to speak about the different types of resume. In my opening statement, I mentioned that most companies and employers are more favorable towards chronological resumes. The two most frequent used resume formats are chronological and functional. However, the combination format is quickly gaining popularity among job seekers and employers. First, let us look at chronological resume. The chronological resume format is organized by job titles, beginning with your most recent position, and list up to 15 years of employment history, like I had mentioned before. It details your current and most recent job and highlight companies, job titles, dates, and achievements. What are the advantages? Employers prefer this format since it can be easily viewed and they are more familiar with this style. Easy to organize employment history. It emphasizes professional growth and company loyalty throughout the length of time on any one job. What are the disadvantages? Shows employment gaps and job hopping. It highlights job duties rather than job skills. Therefore, it may undersell your assets. Use the chronological resume if you have extensive qualifications which you have compiled over years and can demonstrate a logical job history. If you have a recent work history or have been in one job for 2 or more years, if you are looking for a job similar to the current positions you have held. So that's a description of the chronological resume. Let us look at the functional resume. What does that look like? The functional resume format shows experience and accomplishments in accordance with the skills or functional areas they demonstrate. It allows you to tailor information specifically to a desired job while eliminating irrelevant information. Chronology of work experience is not usually established. What are the advantages of a functional resume? It allows you to control, mold, and develop the image you want to project. It presents you as a strong, goal-oriented applicant, custom to produce results. It allows you to fully describe your skills and accomplishments, and it conceals any history of employment gaps or job hopping. The disadvantages? Many employers do not like this format and presume it is used to disguise a poor work history or lack of experience. It may also conceal a stable job history. With the functional resume, if you have short periods of employment or no working history, if you are changing careers, if you have been out of work for 2 or more years. So that just described the functional resume. Now let us look at a combination between the chronological resume and the functional resume. There is no divine a percentage to say 50% chronological and 50% functional. It's just a mixture, and I'm going to go ahead and describe that for you. The combination resume format is gaining popularity among job seekers and employers. This type of resume highlights an individual's skills, accomplishments, experience, and qualifications needed for the occupation in the top part of the resume, thus improving the chance for consideration. Here are the advantages. Effective for all career fields and skill levels. Employers can easily identify your qualifications. A headline statement at the top of the resume includes job title, being applied for, and related occupational skills. The headline statement replaces the objective statement, which in many cases does not address the needs of the employer. There is one disadvantage, and here it is. Interest is focused on one type of occupation, which may narrow your job search. Use the combination resume in these instances. When you are applying for a specific job or trade with essential skills, if you have extensive qualifications, which you have compiled over the years and that are applicable to the job or interest you are applying for. Are you looking for a job similar to your current position? So those are the reasons why you should use either of those, whether you're going to use a functional, a chronological, or you are going to be using a combination of both. Now, most people have like a template, but remember, you still have to design that template to suit that what I just mentioned to you. So let's look on a template for a chronological resume. For example, I have here an example of one of my chronological resume/bio. It has my name at the top. It has my address. It has my phone number. And it also has my email address. The objective for this position is to obtain greater challenge and responsibility as the executive director of the organization which I was applying for, whose main goal is to improve the children's lives and protect their welfare. Okay? Then I went into summarizing my qualifications, why I am qualified for the position. I list my years that I've worked in an organization that allowed me to work with children. And then I went down the size of the organization, what I pioneered and all of that, what did the program offer to the residents. Was I in a position where I supervised? So I spoke about supervising the tenants and all of that. Then I went into my work experience. And I did not go into all of the work experience from I was in Jamaica. I just dealt with those while I was here in the United States. So I list those jobs. Then I list my qualifications, my educational qualification. I mention about the different programs that I am certified to do for families and children. I mention about my university degrees here and so on and so forth. Now, for a functional resume. You remember I mentioned about my name, address, contact number is at the top of the chronological. Now, the functional email, the functional resume, it has my name at the top, or your name, or the person's name at the top. Then, towards the extreme left of your page, you have your current address. That is listed there. Your street address, your city and town, your telephone number, and your email address. That's your current address goes there. Then to the extreme right, you have your permanent address. That goes there. Then you have a one-line objective statement that you set out there. Then you list your education. Then you list your experiences. And it goes down. Then you do your work history and your special skills. So you realize it does not go as much in depth as the chronological one did. Now, a combination resume has, to the extreme left of the page, you have your name, your address, and your city and town. Then to the right of the page, you have your contact information, telephone number, cell phone number if you use one, and your email address. Then you have a power statement there on the next section. You know, what enhance you, for example, you could say something like diligent team player offering extensive administrative and customer service experience. Whatever. You know, look on the list of words, those power words, and create a statement that works for you. Then, the next thing that comes under the combination resume is a profile of you and who you are. And your profile would read something like, well-organized and proficient at multitasking and prioritizing, detail-oriented, accurate and focused, highly effective communication skills, verbal and written, outstanding customer service aptitude, excellent personal skills, having dealt with a broad diversity of population, easily established rapport and trust, troubleshooter, apt at identifying problems and implementing solutions. Computer skills include Word, Excel, and now we are in the era of social media, so if you are proficient on that, you need to stipulate. If you are proficient on LinkedIn and Facebook and all of those, and blogs and all of that, you put that, because even companies now are utilizing those. Then you go and you speak about the core skills that you have. You're a proofreader, you can write, you plan event, you market, you can do word processing, you can manage the office, your order processing, customer service, research, communication, etc., etc., etc. The next thing you're going to do on the combination resume is you're going to give your work history. And remember, you're always beginning from the present or the most current one. And you work your way down. And remember to use a month and year as your designation. After that, you list your education. If you have done any kind of community service and volunteering, you may list that as well. Now, I think it was on Friday, I was speaking with a client, and she was explaining to me now that there are a lot of employers who want for you to send your resume electronic. And we were discussing that. I want to know some of the pitfalls to that and what you need to look for when you are doing the scannable resume. Many companies use a scanned email and internet recruiting to build an electronic resume library for their hiring needs. The traditional resume, even from the most proficient candidate, may be lost if it is not designed for the computer's eyes. Keywords are more important in scannable and online resume because computers often rank an application according to the number of keyword matches. For example, an administrative position might look for typing scores, Word Perfect, and Excel. The more times a match is found, the better the resume is ranked. Contact the company to see if scanners are used and if they require special format paper or styles of typing. When sending a resume via email, it is important to copy and paste your resume onto a message between an employer may not have the appropriate software to open documents that are being attached. Follow the general guidelines to make your resume technically technology friendly. Post your resume online before you see an appropriate job opening. Often employers begin viewing resume as soon as there is an open position, and if they find an appropriate match, they may never post the opening. Check to see how often resumes are purged from the system. Typically, resumes are removed after 6 months, and you might want to resend yours to remain a candidate in that employment pool. Always place your name as the first item at the top of the page, since the scanner assumes that the first line is the applicant's name. Your name and phone number should be on separate lines. Provide a laser-printed original if possible. Scanners cannot read a faxed resume. If you fax a resume, be sure to also mail a hard copy. Use white or light color 8.5 by 11 paper printed on one side only. Do not fold or staple your resume. We already had gone through that in the traditional teaching. Use font size 10 to 14. Avoid Times New Roman 10 point standard. And scan certificates, example, Arial, Times Roman, and Courier transmits best. Avoid font types where the characters touch. Make sure the character spacing between each letter is set at normal, not condensed. No line should exceed 65 characters. Each line, by hitting the enter key, automatical word wrap will create long lines that may not be readable. Left justify the entire document. Italic, bold-faced, underline, and reverse type cause problems for scanners, especially if combined. Use capital letters for emphasis, or set off words with asterisk. When using asterisk, there should be a space between the asterisk and the text. Avoid bullets and offer symbols, vertical or horizontal lines, graphics, shading or shadowing, as these formats are generally not suitable for electronic transmissions. Okay? So now, a sample of a scannable resume. It should have at the left-hand top, you should have your name and your contact information, address and so on, telephone number, email address. You should have your objective. You should have the keyword summary. And remember, choose the keywords that shows that you are the right person for the job, because remember, keywords are important in electronic reading of your resume. Then you go down to your experiences. And if you have volunteer experiences, you go down and you list those as well. And the last part on there, you list your education. All right, let us look at the cover letter for your resume. I want to welcome computer and web guy. Welcome to the show. I am doing the first hour. I'm teaching on writing your resume for success. And I think this is the first time I'm seeing you here on the show, and I want to thank you for coming. And I would love for you, once we start that, tell me, it looks like you design websites and all of that, and I would love to talk with you. So mark my show favorite and contact me to the website there. Yes, you are welcome. So we are expecting my guest, Tom Garner, who will be coming on at 11. So I just want to finish here speaking about the cover letters for resume until he calls in. But I would love to speak with you to find out about your web designs and all of that service that you offer. Okay, your cover letter. The cover letter introduces you to the prospective employer and should always be included when you mail your resume. It should be unique and express your interest in both the company and the position for which you are applying. Never write a form letter to be duplicated and mailed. Address the cover letter to a specific person. Remember, in your cover letter, you're supposed to demonstrate your authenticity. Okay? As with your resume, do not cram a lot of information on one page. The recommended margin length is 1 inch or greater. Your cover letter and resume should have the same font type and paper style. Do not fold or staple the cover letter to the resume. Don't forget to proofread, and if you are not good at grammar and spelling, spend a couple dollars to get someone to proofread it for you. You do not want to send it out with mistakes in it. Keep a copy of all correspondence you send and receive during the job search for reference in following up conversations and interviews. Salary information should only be provided. Salary information should only be provided if it's requested. Now, here is a brief description of your cover letter. Your address, your phone number, including your error code. Date letter is mailed. First and last name, title of the person you are applying to, company address. Dear Mr., Miss, or Mrs., and you put their last names. If the person has a unisex first name, use his or her full name. For women, use Ms. unless you know they are a Mrs. First paragraph. In your initial paragraph, state the reason for the letter, the specific position or type of work for which you are applying, and indicate from which resource, placement center, news media, friend, employment service, you learned about the opening. Your first sentence should catch the reader's attention and reflect your interest in the company. Remember, I just mentioned about your authenticity. And remember, you are selling yourself to them. You just want to stand out above the competition. In your second paragraph, indicate why you are interested in the position, the company, its product or service. Above all, clearly state what you can do for the employer. If you are a recent graduate, explain how your academic background makes you a qualified candidate for this position. If you had some practical work experience, point out your specific achievement or unique qualification. Try not to repeat the same information the reader will find in your resume. In your final paragraph of your cover letter, in the closing paragraph, refer the reader to the enclosed resume or application with summaries, your qualifications, training, and experiences. Indicate your desire for a personal interview and your flexibility as to the time and place. If the job announcement requests no phone calls, repeat your phone number in the letter. If no such request is made, state that you will call on a certain date to set up an interview. And you close with sincerely yours and your signature. You type your name, and enclosed would be your resume. So we'll continue. I talk about some great tips for resume. And here are some great tips for a great cover letter. Always include important information. Make it personally. Address your letter to a specific person within the company. You know our names are the most important sound in our ears. Make the opening sentence charismatic. Each letter you mail should be unique. Describe your skills as they relate to the job. Always type and proofread your cover letter before sending it. And if you're not good at that, pay somebody to do that for you. Be brief and use action words to describe your accomplishments. I gave you a great list of words that has been approved by the Department of Labor. I shared those with you earlier on. Always keep a copy of every cover letter you send. Always request a response or an interview. Be sure to sign your letter. So those are the pointers that I share with you this morning. And we have a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hey, Daphne, it's Tom Garner. I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri.
Hello, Tom, and welcome to the A New Day show. I'm very excited about having you on. I spent the first hour teaching on writing your resume for success, because I know the show focuses on entrepreneurship, but I think now people are doing a combination of things. So I just felt led to share with them some pointers that will allow them to stand. So without any further delay, I want to thank you again, Tom, for calling in. And I want you to take some time and just tell the listeners who Tom Garner is and how he began his life when he entered this world.
Okay. Well, Again, my name's Tom Garner. I am a business coach, and I am currently living in Kansas City, Missouri. As I started out, as you asked about, I started out in a small town called Sutter, Missouri, population of 3,500. Mm-hmm. I am the youngest of four children, and I'm the baby. And I have two older sisters, one who is a polio child, and I have an older brother. And as I was growing up, my father was a business owner. He owned an auto repair store. And just about the time my mother found out that she was pregnant with me, my father was diagnosed with a disease called Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with it, but mm-hmm. some people may know that Michael J. Fox
yes.
Is pretty famous, and he's been a good person out there talking about Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I'm sorry?
No, I was saying, yes, Michael has been shedding a lot of light over the years on Parkinson's.
Oh, absolutely. It's mm-hmm. it's a really terrible disease, and so as I was growing up, being the youngest in the family, I kind of became my father's ad hoc caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere that he went, I had to go with him, because mm-hmm. if he were to have fallen down, he could not have gotten up by himself.
Mm.
And so it was that was a lot of what probably helped develop part of my in my business. We talk about the DISC analysis, which is a behavioral analysis,
mm-hmm.
and it's what molds your behavior modalities, and I
mm-hmm.
think some of that caused that. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did that as a young child, and as I became a teenager, got a little rebellious and
mm-hmm.
Went out and didn't do my schoolwork probably as well as I should have. And
mm-hmm.
and one day my mother sat me down and said, "Tom, you're going to this school."
Mm.
And she actually had pretty much enrolled me before I even knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to school, got a degree in architecture and mechanical engineering,
mm-hmm.
and graduated in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, I never worked in my field a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, it was a pretty rough economy here in the United States. For you that are old enough to remember back that far, Daphne, I know
mm-hmm.
you're not. But
well, thank you.
So I actually got into the commercial office furniture industry and did that for a number of years. And later on, I bought a newspaper in Columbia, Missouri, where I spent 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a business-to-business newspaper
mm-hmm.
and ran it, as I said, for about 20 years, or I'm sorry, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother lived up in the Kansas City area, and
mm-hmm.
she had a health episode. And my sister, who also lives up here, was her primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister simply told me that she couldn't take care of her by herself anymore. And so I sold off my paper, and I moved to Kansas City.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. and had to do it rather quickly, because,
mm-hmm.
like I said,
mm-hmm.
it was a family situation. But
I
would not trade it for anything in the world. My
yes.
mother passed in
yes.
2009, and I
yes.
got to spend about 6 years with her, which me was more valuable than anything that I could, any kind of financial rewards I could have had
yes.
with my
yes.
my paper.
Yes. What a blessing, because, you know, Tom, about 3 months ago, I met a lady here in Connecticut, and she had an extremely successful dry cleaning business. She, I think, was the only dry cleaning here in town that could be categorized as an all green cleaning establishment.
Oh,
and
very good.
Something similar happened to her. One day she got a call about her mom in the Midwest who was diagnosed with cancer. And she said she did not think twice about selling her business and moving there to take care of her mother. And she said the same thing to me that you just said. She said, although I have that expensive green machine still in my garage. I would not change anything else for the time that I went out and spent with my mother. And it speaks volume about who you are as a person, because we know that the quality times we spend with family, it doesn't matter how wealthy we become, that cannot buy those kinds of things. I commend you on that.
Oh, thank you.
It's interesting that you said your mother went and enrolled you in architecture school, because I heard that and I was thinking, this young man was born into an entrepreneurial circuit. Your father had his own business. And I'm thinking, why didn't his mother think that he was going to settle in the office to become an architect? But what I love is that you obeyed your mother. You went and you graduated, and then you step out to your calling and purpose, huh?
Absolutely.
And I
still love the architectural field. It just, as I said, that economy wasn't there.
Mhm. That's right. That's right. And, you know, the love for a thing is one thing. The qualification for a thing is another. But when we are compelled to a calling and a purpose, no bad economy, nothing can stop us from excelling in that. So, how you sold the newspaper and then you went up to be a son to your mother, and then you had like a 100-degree turnaround. How did you end up where you are now?
Well, when I moved to Kansas City, for a short stint, I worked for a company called Media Services, which was actually an off-site record storage and a secure document shredding company. And believe it or not, Daphne, I worked in a cave. Here in Kansas City, we have some very well-known caves, and my office was literally 40 feet underground.
Mm-mm.
And very, very different occupation, but it wasn't something that was right for me. And I got a call from the local metropolitan newspaper, the Kansas City Star, to come work for them and to help them develop their business section and in the advertising arena. And so I did that and soon learned that corporate life wasn't for me.
Still trying to suffocate your calling, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I did that for about 4 years and said, this has got to go. And throughout my life, I've always helped small business owners. One of the nice things about my newspaper, again, it was a business newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to see small businesses and large businesses, but mainly small businesses, that were extremely successful.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also got to see small businesses that weren't so successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what really amazed me, the only difference between the two, not always, but for a large majority of the time, was one knew how to run a business and another one didn't. They were both extremely, they could both be very good, as Michael Gerber would call it, technicians,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't know how to operate and run a business.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that happened to them is they become successful. And when
mm-hmm.
you become successful, you're no longer doing that technical work. Now
right.
you have to be an administrator. Now you have to be an HR person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the small business arena, you're everything. You got to be the janitor.
Yeah.
And so,
mm-hmm.
and so I have always had people that have asked me for their advice and sought my counsel. And
mm-hmm.
it just really excited me when I could see a small business person succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked around and I said, well, what can I do? You know, I've got a plethora of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but nothing specific to an industry. But
mm-hmm.
how can I help people?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's whenever I took up the idea of becoming a business coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked around. There are a number of franchises out there. Some of them are very expensive. Some of them are moderately expensive. But they all wanted you to do things exactly the way they wanted you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I already told you I didn't like working for the corporation at the newspaper. I wasn't about to start working for some franchisor doing things exactly the way they wanted. So I found this really great organization. It's called the PCA.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Professional Business Coaches Alliance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they gave me a coaching system
mm-hmm.
that I could use the way that works for me and works for my Midwest clients.
Right.
They gave me tools and resources that I had. There's 100 of us across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We're all independent businesses. We all have our own business names. We run it exactly the way that we want to. But if you're familiar with the Verizon telephone service,
mm-hmm.
there's this, on their advertisements, they got this guy standing there, and then he's got all these other people standing behind him called his network.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I have. I have a network of 100 professionals from all across the United States and Canada that have been in business at least 15 years in an executive position. And so if ever I have a client that has a need that I don't know how to address, I can go out on my forum and I can say, hey, listen, I've got this printer that doesn't know how to handle this, or he has this problem with an employee. How do I handle it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll immediately help me, and then I can help my clients.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. In your years as business coach, Tom, how willing are entrepreneurs in utilizing the services of coaching?
Well, there's no absolute, there's no true barometer. I will tell you, the successful people that I meet
mm-hmm.
will use a coach. Now,
mm-hmm.
it may be a paid coach, it may be a mentor, it
mm-hmm.
may be some other trusted advisor,
mm-hmm.
but a good, smart person knows that they don't know it all.
Exactly.
And
I don't know whether or not you notice a discussion on LinkedIn. I think it's about 6 weeks now. At least it's about 6 weeks when I came across it. And somebody was discussing whether or not business owners really need coach. And, you know, of course I had to hop on there being a coach and everything, because any person out there that is thinking that you know it all, you're making a sad mistake. We don't. And with the magnificence of social media and technology and all of that, now there's no reason for you to be a lone ranger in your little neck of the woods and not excelling.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I do as a coach is, you know, a lot of it has to do with the tools and the knowledge and the resources that I can bring to a business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes as I'm actually going to visit a client as we're talking, I'm actually on the road right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whenever he hired me, he said, Tom, I need somebody to kick me in the pants.
Mm-hmm.
Because entrepreneurs, you know, one of the things I often say to people is, you know, who's the boss's boss?
Exactly. Exactly.
Will one of your employees tell you truly if you're messing up? Will one of your and if you take it, you know, there's an organization called the NFIB, which is National mm-hmm. Federation of Independent Business Owners.
Mm-hmm.
It's the largest lobbying group for small business in the United States, and they did a survey, and 71% of their members stated that the number one advisor they had for their business was a family owner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if your dad was in the same business you were in, or if your mom was in the same business that you're in, or brother, what have you, sister, you know, that's fine. But, you know, so many people count upon their spouse to
mm-hmm.
be a business advisor, and they take it home. And it leads to a very, very stressful relationship.
Exactly.
your spouse doesn't know your business. Quite frankly, your spouse doesn't want to know your business. All they want to know is, can we pay the mortgage?
Exactly.
That's what they want to know about your business.
Exactly. And plus, trends and customs change weekly. As a matter of fact, sometimes daily. And
absolutely,
you cannot expect your spouse to stay abreast of all the changing things so that you can be successful. And I oftentimes tell my clients that your investment in your self-development needs to supersede your wardrobe, because it is very important to be up to date with all the trends that can keep you thriving.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What are some pointers, Tom, that you can give us as entrepreneurs to, let's say we are going to ask the entrepreneurs to do an inventory of where they are and where they are looking to take their businesses this year. What does the list look like? What do they need to begin to do?
Well, the first thing that I do with my clients is I have a number of analysis tools that I use. One we call is called the BEE, which stands for Business Effectiveness Evaluation. And what we do is we simply look at 9 key categories of your business, and I ask some very simple questions and let you rate yourself as to how effective you are in those areas. Those areas could be anything from sales, marketing, human resources, financial management, profit margins, or your work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're stressful at home, you can't be a very successful business person.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, I use a thing called the Wheel of Life, and I don't know, Daphne, if you ever use that with your clients.
No, I'm not familiar with it, Tom.
Okay, well, it's basically it, and there's several different versions of it. But you take various aspects of your business or your personal life, and you take these different categories, and you draw a circle, and then you put points in the circle as to where these different things are, and you have people rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 10 as to where they feel they are in these particular areas.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
you plot that, and then you plot that on this circle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we all know, a wheel rolls much better when it's round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if they plot themselves low on this round circle that we've created, then we know that if that part of their life, that part of their business life, isn't on par with the rest of their business life, personal life, then their wheel can't roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the tools we use in order for them to see where, what may be catching them up? What may be holding them back?
Mm-hmm.
And I always, and the other thing I do is, and I don't know if you're also familiar with the DISC behavioral analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do, I use a program called Extended DISC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and for your listeners who don't know, DISC is an acronym standing for direct,
mm-hmm.
or dominant,
mm-hmm.
influencer,
mm-hmm.
And the so D would be director dominant,
mm-hmm.
I is an influencer, the S stands for steady,
mm-hmm.
and the C stands for
competence. Competence.
Yep. Competence and constant.
Mm-hmm.
And so your D person, which I think they say about 17% of the U.S. population are D persons,
mm-hmm.
and D persons are often business owners.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they're often business owners is because they can't work for anybody else. and so they're a very direct person. If you're talking to that person and you're talking to them about how the weather is and your last vacation, they're sitting there looking at you. So what's your point?
Exactly. Get to the point. Bottom line. Bottom line. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then you take your eye person, and your eye person is the influencer. The eye person is the person who can talk your ear off. They go into a group setting, and they are the life of the party. They're the center of attention. They love it. And they are typically turn out to be salespeople. And then your S person is your steady person. And they're the person that doesn't like to see the boat rock. They take it easy, and they're the glue that holds everyone together.
Everybody else together.
And they're the person is a another person was telling me the other day, they're the person that if you cut yourself, they're the one that has a Band-Aid in their purse. They're always prepared. They're always to help, ready to help you out.
The C person
who is the constant, consistency, they got to have their ducks in a row. They're the ones that have to, they got to see the numbers. Everything has to make sense.
Like the engineers.
They're the engineers, absolutely. And so they're the folks that need to have a clear structured pattern. And there's actually charts that will tell you, the one thing is very important for your listeners to know, and anyone that would ever take a DISC evaluation, is that there is no good and there is no bad.
No bad. It just is what it is.
It's just how you best communicate. There's a lot of good people that are D styles. There are a lot of bad people that are D styles. So it's not a reflection. The other thing is that because you are one style doesn't mean that you can't be, an S person doesn't mean they can't be a business owner.
That's right.
A C person can't be a business owner. An I person can't be a business owner. It's just where the D's tend to gravitate.
Exactly.
And what it also tells you is if you are a business owner and you're one of these other styles, what it says is that maybe it's a little stressful you do some of the things that are required under that style. And as long as you know that, then it allows you to make adjustments, and whenever you have to do those type of things, you know it's going to be stressful on you, and you can then, you understand that you may have to do something to revitalize you that's something that you like to do based on your style. Does that make sense?
Of course. I tell you, Tom, I used to work with the DISC, and I tell you, my first experience with the DISC, I went to this Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend where the DISC was. And when I did my summary, it pointed that I was a motivator and everything. So I said to the consultant, I need to order. I don't know if you guys still do the summary that you can get from the computer. So I told her I wanted to pay extra and get that one because no way that I thought I was biased in when I did the draft and everything, the graft and everything. When it came back, I headed all the way to the page. Bam! Nothing changed. So, I mean, you can't run from who you are. You are who you are. So, the DISC is what pointed me confidentially into becoming a consultant.
Yes.
And as I entered in here, it more and more unraveled that this was indeed my calling, because as I look back over the years when I worked as a nurse in Jamaica, I look back, Tom, and I see that what I'm doing now is the same way that I did nursing.
Right. Talking to your patient.
Exactly. You cannot run from who you are. And
absolutely.
I think that every business owner should have the DISC done, not only for themselves, but also for their staff member. Because what it is going to help them to see is who is where. This way, you're not giving the deep person eye job to do, and you're not giving the eye job S job and vice versa to do. But a lot of companies do not want to spend the money. And I tell them that it's worth your while to spend the money there because you will be compensated at the back end.
So absolutely.
I am an advocate for the disc. I, when Carlson sold the company, I don't know how long you have been using it, but I was back from the Carlson days, and then Carlson became Insight Publishing and all of that, and then I gave up using it. But it's a phenomenal instrument.
Well, the great thing about disc, and it's what you just pointed out, is for me, it's very important to understand what your style is. Mm-hmm. But the biggest gain you get out of doing disc is to be able to recognize other people's styles.
That's right.
And then adjust when you're communicating with them, to adjust your communication method to match their style. And that's the real key. As a matter of fact, I do seminars all the time, and it's called the Four Steps of Communication, and it's mm-hmm. based totally on the disc assessment that we do. I can do it as a half-day or a full-day seminar. Disc is a very, very important tool.
I'm not sure if you're hearing. If you're hearing, someone in the chat room would like for you to explain the I personality again. He got disconnected, and I'm sure he will call in. He was driving from place to place. Okay, he got back in. Okay, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, there's someone in the chat room that is asking you to please explain the I personality again.
Okay. The I stands for influencer. That's the person that's very outgoing. They're the person that will just talk. They have no problem. They've never met a stranger. They are out there. They're happy. They're the chatterbox, and that's why they make very effective salespeople, because they are willing to go out there and to get out there and make the calls. Mm-hmm. As we all know in sales, that's what you got to do, is make calls.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing about them is, when you're dealing with an I person, and you've got to be sure to understand that they're a people person. And so, as I told you earlier, that the D person, if you start talking about your vacation, whatever, to a D person, they say, as you said, get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
The I person, if you sit there and the first thing you say to them is you start talking about your proposal or mm-hmm. how you're going to do this, that, or the other thing, it hurts their feelings.
Yeah, they tune you out because I people are touchy-feely people.
Exactly.
They will get to the bottom line, but they are building relationships first.
So after all about relationships.
After they invest in that relationship, they know it's going to be a win for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope that kind of gives a better
Yes, I asked the person. I asked the person whether that was what they wanted to hear. They have not answered yet, so I think you did a very eloquent job in explaining that. So we will continue. When they write something else, I will say something if that was not what they were looking for.
And Daphne, I will tell you that if any of your listeners want some information on the different styles, the way to communicate, and the
mm-hmm.
way to recognize the styles, I have a PDF that I'd be more than willing to send to your listeners.
Okay.
If they would send me an email.
Okay. And I'm going to give an opportunity before we close our dialogue up to give out
okay.
your contact to give out your contact information
All right.
Tom for that. Yes, so okay. We spend a great amount of time explaining the disc and the advantage of that, and I affirm and support that because that's something that I have used personally and I have used with clients in the past. I am no longer including it in my practice, but not because it was not effective. It was just a financial decision that I had to make when the companies change owners. But it's very effective. And if it was not for the disc in the beginning of my career, I probably would not be talking to you today. I would still be doing something else that was not part of my purpose and calling. So we talk about the disc and all of that. What else can entrepreneurs do that can really bring them above their competition? I am such an advocate for authenticity and all of that. But from a coaching perspective, as a business coach, what else can they do to enhance their authenticity?
Well, for their authenticity, well, I guess if I could sidestep for just one moment, because another key component, and especially at this the beginning of the year, it's very important for the business owner, the entrepreneur, to understand their financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
To understand, you know, if you're a business owner, if you don't understand your balance sheet, your income statement, or some people call it profit and loss, you know, that's something you need to reach out to your accountant or find some online resources and understand what that is. Because, you know, the fact is the business is about money. And if you don't have money, you can't be in business.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding cash flow is very important. Your banker can typically help you out with that if you don't understand how to work on your cash flow. And so I just wanted to bring that up because to me, right, this time of year, especially whenever you're budgeting for what you're going to do throughout the year, it's very important that you understand where your financial position is.
I want to take a minute here to give the listeners the phone number and encourage them to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And feel free to call in if you have a question. I am in conversation with Tom Garner, who is a business coach out of Missouri. Yes, so you're saying, especially this in January, when everybody seemed to be designing their plan of action for the year, is a good time to make sure you are including a system that will allow you to understand financial issues better.
Absolutely.
Because whether you have an accountant or a financial manager, you got to understand. And that's why a lot of people get dripped, because they don't understand the bottom line. So right under their noses, monies are being funneled elsewhere. But because they don't understand, that is why they don't miss it.
Absolutely. And it's just the things that, you know, sometimes we, you know, in today's economy, don't be afraid to go to your supplier, your vendor, and say, hey, listen, I'm a good customer of yours. I need better pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to ask for better deals. Don't be afraid to go to your banker and say, hey, is there something we can do to, you know, reduce my interest rates on these loans? I mean, don't be afraid to go out there and ask, because, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Gets the grease, exactly. And we have not because we ask not. Because people say, oh, but I can't go in the bank to negotiate. I'm saying, yes, you can. Yes,
absolutely.
You can. I mean, the rich guys go in there and they negotiate and they ask and they get. And we are sitting down and think that we got to just take what they say and run with it.
I think, Daphne, if I remember correctly from the few times that I've visited the islands, isn't a person kind of stupid if they ever pay the price the person asking for?
I wouldn't say they are stupid, but because to be honest, I am not a very good huddler.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anytime I've ever went to the islands, that's what it was about.
A lot of people, especially the tourists, and they come. And can I let you in on the secret?
Sure.
Because people, especially the people in the tourism industry, they know that people is going to huddle, so they jack it up. So by the time they are through huddling with them, what they get is really what they wanted in the first case. So it appears as if it's a win-win, but it's really what it was supposed to be. So don't tell anybody I tell you. It's a secret between us, okay?
Absolutely. And that's the way it is with most businesses.
Yes,
they've got the margin they want, but they also have the price that they'll take.
Exactly.
And so that's where you need to be.
That's right. It's like you go in the store and you buy one and you get one free. And you're looking at the price you paid for one, and you know that was not the price, you know. You paid for both things. But, so we all got to, we got to be savvy. It's the bottom line is marketing. Okay.
The other thing I would talk about is time management.
Yes.
You know, right now is a great time to, you know, go through and understand how you use your time management. Go through, clean out your office, get those files that have been sitting there, the projects that you didn't complete or maybe bids you didn't win, and get them out of your way. You don't need to see those anymore. There's no reason to have them around. One of the things I work with my clients is I'm a very big proponent of a gentleman by the name of David Allen, who wrote a book back in 2001 called Getting Things Done. And he has a system called GDT or GTD. And it's a very good system for any of your listeners. It's not a very long book, but it's a very detailed book. Just explains to you how to, you know, to corral those hundreds of emails you get every day, all those sticky notes you have on your desk or on your computer. It's just a way to get yourself, you know, as I often tell my clients, what would you do with an extra week added onto your year? Would you spend it with your family? Would you take a vacation? Do you get more things done in your business? Well, if you break it down, you know, if you could save yourself for doing proper time management, if you can save yourself just 12 minutes a day through being more organized, that actually equates to having an extra week in the year.
Wow.
Whole week.
Amazing. 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 It's the little things in life, you know. They add up.
Absolutely.
The little things add up.
David Allen's good, and there's another one that's very good. David Allen has been around for years, and he started out with the old the Covey method, and so very much in the paper management world. Mm-hmm. Another one that has become very a powerful motivator in the time management, when you look at electronic time management, is a woman by the name of Sally McGhee, and that's McGhee.
I've seen that online. I haven't read any of her work. Yeah.
But she's very, very good. And I actually teach a system that's a combination between what David Allen does and what Sally McGhee does. But that would be a very good a place to start is just to understand time management and to get both your business, your professional and your personal life under control.
So we spoke about time management. We spoke about understanding your finances, your spreadsheet, your cash flow, and all of those very important things. What are some other factors that gets into the way of a successful entrepreneurship, Tom? Other than the fact that we're trying to do everything ourselves and all the other things that you mentioned. Is there any other thing?
Yeah, it's called head trash. We all have it. I recently had the fortune of meeting someone I very much respected. He's a well-known business guru across the United States. Around the world, actually, and I got to meet him and spend some time with him and learned that he was actually a real person, and he had his own flaws. He had, he was obviously very successful, but he had his own flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us think that when you look at, the Donald Trumps, all these different guys, well, he's probably not the best example to use, but... a lot of these folks out here that are very well respected business people, they've
mm-hmm.
all got problems, just like
well, we all
do. I
do. Yep. Mhm. Mhm.
And they may be well known, and by fortune became well known, but doesn't necessarily mean that they know a whole lot more than you do, and they probably don't know as much about your business as what you do.
Mm.
So, get it out of your head that you're not the best person to be in the position you're in right now.
Mm. Tom, repeat what you just said, because that is powerful what you just said. I want you to repeat that.
Okay, well, just understand and believe in yourself that you are the best person to be in the position you're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be stagnant either.
That's
just
right.
Because you're in a good position now doesn't mean you can't learn.
That's right.
Get out there and listen to people. Mm-hmm. as we started this conversation, it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a coach. It can be a mentor. It can be somebody that you just look up to.
Mm-hmm.
But call someone up. Say, hey, can we grab some lunch? Can we have a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to learn from you.
Exactly.
And don't be afraid to ask, because people say, oh well, he's too important. He won't talk mm-hmm. to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there may be some people like that, but quite honestly, a lot of people consider it flattery. And
exactly,
they,
to call. That's right. That's right.
And it's our human nature to want to help others.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite frankly, bragging. Whenever you can help someone else, that's a form of bragging. So
exactly.
Most people enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. 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 And as a matter of fact, Tom, a lot of us who are entrepreneurs or small business people, we are looking to pay it forward. And one of the strongest way in which we can do this is by helping others. So,
absolutely.
We are looking to enhance and to pay it forward. I want for you, Tom, to please give out your contact information. And after you do that, I want you to just summarize the points you want to leave the listeners with today.
Okay. Well, as I've indicated before, I've got some free information that I'm happy to share with your listeners on the DISC system, and it's that it will tell you how to recognize your own style, how to recognize other people's styles, and how best to communicate with those other people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a, not the complete business evaluation system that I do, but I have a one-pager I'd be happy to share with your listeners that
mm-hmm.
just goes through those 9 categories that I talked about earlier that allow you to do a little self-assessment of
uh-huh.
your business and where things are at. And
mm-hmm.
so, and some other tools that I'd be happy to share if anyone's
mm-hmm.
interested.
Mm-hmm.
And they can simply... email me at info@acumen-kc.com. That's info @acumen-kc.com.
Okay, I put it in the I put it in the chat room.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And so if anyone wants to reach out, I'd be happy to.
info@acumen-kc.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And like I said, if you just tell me, if you want to know about the evaluation or disc, just send me an email and I'm happy to share that information.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. How would you
only
like...
Only because they're your listeners.
Oh, thank you, thank you. You all know you are special, so you all better grab that opportunity only because you are listening to Daphne's New Day show. He is rolling out the red carpet for you. So, I guess
for you, Daphne.
Any listener to my show is a friend of Tom's. So, utilize
absolutely.
That. Don't take it lightly. Yes, Tom, would you please take the next 5 minutes to just summarize and pull out some pointers that you want to leave the listeners with?
All right. Well, I would say that the first thing is, as we begin a new year, understand time management.
Mm-hmm.
Get your house in order. Get your office in order. Understand how to better utilize your time. As I said, if you can save 12 minutes a day, that is a full week that you get to go on vacation or be with your family, see your kid's soccer game, baseball game, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So time management to me is something that I really like to see people focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is to get your financial house in order. Understand what a balance sheet is. It's not, when you first see it, it looks like a total mystery, but it's not. And there are many resources out there, and some that I could actually include myself to,
mm-hmm.
to teach you how to understand your balance sheet, your financial statement, or what others, some people are income statement. Other people may call it profit and loss.
Mm-hmm.
I think QuickBooks calls it profit and loss instead of income statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be another thing is that, you know, if you aren't using some sort of financial accounting program, there's a lot out there to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Most people use QuickBooks. Then small business world, there's some other options out there too. But don't keep your financial records on the backs of sheets of paper, which I've
mm-hmm.
seen people do.
Mm-hmm.
Get organized. It increases your productivity, and that's what it's all about. You know,
mm-hmm,
when
mm-hmm.
today, whenever we have to do more with less. It's
mm-hmm.
all about productivity. You've
mm-hmm.
got to be
mm-hmm.
more productive in your business,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then learn how to better communicate with family, friends, associates, clients, and prospects,
mm-hmm.
Employees, and so you know, understand that when you're talking to people, don't talk at people, talk to
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, you have to understand how they best understand you.
Mm-hmm.
There's another system out there that, if you aren't familiar with it, it's called NLP, which is Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
Programming. Mm-hmm.
And that's another one that I use kind of along the same lines as this. Not as
mm-hmm.
heavily, but it's understanding the way how people hear words or understand words.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like you know about NLP, and so, but that's those are the things. Learn to communicate, understand your finances, get your house in order.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those
mm-hmm.
are, I guess I'll put those as three key things that I would love to see people work on each and every day, starting
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Please take the time to once again give out your contact information and just tell people the services that you offer.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Tom Garner, and I have a company called Acumen Total Business Dynamics. I'm based in Kansas City, Missouri. You can reach me either at info@acumen-kc.com. Or you can reach me at, if you want to reach me directly, my personal email address is tom.g@acumen-kc.com. The things that I help people with, I'm a one-on-one business coach. I help businesses understand where they're at in their business. I help them understand where they want to go with their business. I give them the tools and the resources to reach their goals, and I hold them accountable for reaching their goals.
Mm-hmm.
I utilize a number of resources. We talked about the DISC analysis, that I am a certified extended DISC provider. I'm also certified in another program called Fintel, which is financial intelligence, where I can show you, I can do profit analysis, I can do growth analysis, all kinds of different ways that I can look at your financials and show you how you can improve your cash flow. And then that's probably plenty for right now.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you for spending this quality time with my listeners and myself, and to invest in my vision and mission. I pray for your continued success, that you continue to change the outlook of entrepreneurship in America. Again, I just want to thank you for this time, Tom. So I look forward to having you on this show again. And I pray that this show has helped to inform, empower, and inspire you this morning, and that you have gotten all the insight that you came listening for. Stay blessed. Know that you were created for a destiny, and that you should focus on that and not allow anyone to derail you. I want to thank you, Tom, for spending time with us. And
absolutely.
I look forward to having you on the show again.
Well, I hope your listeners got something out of it. And as I said, if there's anything I can do for you, Daphne, and your listeners are just so fortunate to have you out there spreading the good word.
Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For me, this way. grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.